take our Bibles this evening. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 24, and then also if you can turn to 2 Timothy 3. Matthew 24, and then 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4. We're going to look at both these passages this evening. And pray that God will use it in our hearts to help us become better Christians. There was a book written many years ago, actually by J. Edgar Hoover. And if you think of that time era, I wanted to mention his name and because it makes you shoot back. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover basically was one that headed up the FBI for many years, but that was way back, you think, in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And it was... In a book he wrote called End Crimes in America. So think of that time era, and then you'll understand why I'm opening with this. This is what he wrote. This is an excerpt from his book, End Crimes in America. Did you know that people spend 8 times more hours at the movies than at Sunday school? That only 1 out of 12 persons in our country attend church? That 7 out of 8 children stop attending church and Sunday school before they reach 15 years of age. 15 million sex magazines are printed monthly and read by 1/3 of the American people. There are more barmaids in this country than college girls. 1 million American girls have venereal disease. 1 million illegitimate babies are born annually. Our nation harbors 3 times as many criminals as college students. Major crime is committed every 22 seconds. An aggravated assault or rape occurs every hour. A murder every 40 minutes. There are 60 suicides in our nation daily. 2 out of 3 people smoke. 3 out of 10 who start as light drinkers end up drunkards. As a nation, we spend about $750 on pleasures, sins, cosmetics, and amusements to every dollar given to foreign missions. Read, pray, weep as you consider America's dreadful spiritual plight. Now think about that. This was probably written over 50 years ago. And ask yourself, has it gotten better? You know the answer. It's not gotten any better. And you would think as Christians then, we would become a little more intense, a little more passionate about our Savior, a little more passionate about serving the Lord. But is that true? You know it. You know it in your own heart, and you know it as we look at Christianity in America. Christianity in America was a lot more fervent in his day than it is now. And yet, is it better? I mean, is it so good that we can be lax? Read Matthew 24. We'll start in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. But look what it says. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you go down further, what does Paul tell Timothy? Here, it's going to get worse and worse, but what does he tell him? Look in verse 14. Or verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he tells them in verse 16 that all scripture is given for inspiration. And then he leads right into chapter 4, and he charges them to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. And look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Isn't that kind of what we see today? Not too many years ago, it was very common to have Sunday night services. In an evangelistic campaign, most people would call it the Saturday night slump. This was many years ago. They called it the Saturday night slump. And the Saturday night slump was referred to as the devil's night. Because that's when all kinds of chaos and all kinds of revelry and debauchery occurred. But the devil didn't give up with the Saturday night slump, because he's gone right into Sunday night. Now all across America, there's no Sunday night church anymore. That's why back in March when we had our friend night, you guys were able to get a lot of people. We had over 150 guests on Sunday night, and a lot of them from other churches. I sat with somebody over in the gym and was sitting and talked to them, and they said, yeah, we were able to come tonight because we stopped having church many years ago. And I thought, nah, you haven't had church for years, even on Sunday morning. You may go there and you may read the Bible and you may say that you are worshiping God, but there's no passion anymore. Because as iniquity abounds, what happens? The love of many shall wax cold. One guy put it this way. He smoked cigars 3 times a day, 10 sinners, 2 at that. Then gave a nickel to the church when the deacons passed the hat. She gave 1 cent for missions work, then spent 10 cents for gum, then bowed her head and really prayed, O Lord, thy kingdom come. They sat at home and wondered why the church did not succeed. She chewed her gum and couldn't tell. He puzzled, smoked, and wheezed. That's the plight of most churches today. Even this Sunday morning, we had well over 160 adults off the buses, sitting in church. But you know what the average bus adult thinks? I'm saved. I'm at church on Christmas Sunday. And yet this afternoon, I'm sure they went right back into their sinful ways. And this week, they're thinking, they're already planning. Some of them, maybe this afternoon, maybe this evening, stopped at the liquor store to load up for this week. And yet I'm a Christian. Now all of us can see that on the outside. And all of us can look around and we can say, oh, woe is me. Man, look at those people. But tonight we're not thinking about them. What we're thinking about is you sitting in the pew. We're thinking about you that are here. And you may say, you know what? I've served God this year. Man, I've done so much. I've given this much to God. But has your love waxen cold? This evening we're going to talk about spiritual hyperthermia. Or as I entitle it, The Danger of Being Cool. Because some of you, that's all it's about. But the Bible doesn't have anything good about being good. It's saying it doesn't have anything good to say about being cool. In fact, it has a lot to say about being hot. Well, being on fire for Him. Speaking about spiritual hypothermia. And I think many have caught it. There's some symptoms, and we're going to talk about it. We'll ask the Lord to bless. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us this evening as we look at a couple of ideas or bring it together. Help us to concentrate on the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to look and let the Holy Spirit do His work. There's many of us that are cool to the things of God. We're awfully warm to the world. Help us to analyze our heart. Holy Spirit, do what I can't. Lord, prick the hearts. Squeeze them, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your power. We claim it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hypothermia. When humans are outside working, sometimes even playing, you have to be aware of your body's natural response to the cold. And it's kind of a combination with the cold and the rain and especially the wind. And your body, physically, when it's outside and you're not aware of these things going on, it can actually prove to be deadly. When the body loses heat faster than it can be generated, your core body temperature starts going lower and lower. When your body temperature drops before 95 Fahrenheit due to the cold, a thing called hypothermia sets in. And this hypothermia, and as we said, it's because of not just the cold, but a lot of times it's when, a lot of times you hear of hypothermia setting in the mountains, in very cold areas, but it's not always true. There are people that have suffered hypothermia in warmer climates. I'm not talking about at the equator, but in some areas, that we live in, it's not always going to be up in Alaska or up in the northern plains of Canada. Hypothermia can set in a lot of different ways. But this is what's interesting. I looked it up a couple of weeks ago because I knew I was going to be preaching on this. And so I looked it up and I found an EMT that has a site. And so I went through and it was interesting because I heard about it. And I thought, I want to see if this is actually true. And it is true. Listen to what an EMT says about signs that you have hypothermia. This is an actual article. They said signs that show that you have physical hypothermia is called watch out for the umble family. It was a play on words. It's U-M-B-L-E. Watch out for the umble family. And then the EMT said physically when you have hypothermia, the first sign is that you'll start to stumble. He said, then it'll proceed, and then you'll start to mumble. And then you'll start to fumble. And then you'll start to grumble. And the EMT said, these are classic warning signs that you have hypothermia physically. Now, what was amazing to me is I was like, holy cow. That guy just preached a sermon. I could have him step up here because there's a whole lot of people, a whole lot of Christians that I've met and they've been living with the humble family for a long time. Because what happens? There are Christians I know that can't find the light of day. They can't find God's will. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know right from wrong and they stumble in every step they make. You got spiritual hypothermia. And then they start mumbling. You come up to them and you say, hey, brother, I'm noticing you've been missing church. Start mumbling along. Start, hey, what about this sin here? And you start mumbling and twisting scriptures out of context. You start pulling something out and you're just mumbling. What else does it say? You start fumbling. Yeah, you start fumbling with your tithe check. Yeah, it's fumbling at home and it stays there. You start fumbling with your kids. You start fumbling all around and then you start grumbling. And there's some of you, that's all you've been doing for the last 6 months. You grumble about this message. You grumble about that message. You grumble about this person in the church. You grumble about this and that and this and that. And here we are. We're trying to get together and praise the Lord because we're seeing God's working. And you're like, blah, 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 blah. You got spiritual hypothermia. That's what you got. You got a cold heart. And the Bible says the reason you have a cold heart is because iniquity abounds. And I think it abounds around you. Spiritual hypothermia. This is what's amazing to me. As I read that article, it says as hypothermia worsens, victims may display cold, stupid behavior. Now this is the EMT talking about it. He's just talking physically. But man, spiritually, he's nailing it. Acting confused, sleepy, disoriented, slurring their speech. Eventually, shivering stops, pupils dilate, muscles stiffen, heart rate slows, and lethargy, apathy, amnesia, delirium are evident. Now, this is what's crazy. Even in the midst of a freezing snowstorm, this has actually happened. Some victims have pulled off clothing. And they call it paradoxical undressing. That's what in the EMTs. So here they are, they're freezing to death, and they start taking clothes off. It doesn't make any sense. Spiritual hypothermia doesn't make any sense either. Skipping church, sleeping in church, apathy towards souls, apathy towards the things of God, amnesia. They say an estimated about 30% of hypothermia deaths are associated with that paradoxical undressing. People at this stage will never survive without intervention. That's what, according to the EMTs. Now, this is what was interesting. Again, this is in the article. Hypothermia usually, and this is about 700 people, according to CDC, about 700 people a year die from physical hypothermia. I mean, that's not an outrageous amount. But 700 people die. And there's no reason for them to have to die. But hypothermia usually happens during prolonged exposure to the elements. Now, I'm applying some of this as we're going through the article. And the reason is we're talking about spiritual hypothermia. And I think the traits are so similar. You have the humble family. Where you stumble and you mumble and you fumble and you grumble. And then you see the other characteristics, the other traits. But then what was amazing is that hypothermia could have been stopped, but they didn't stop the exposure to the elements. Now spiritually, what does that mean to you? What do you have to get away from? The element that is causing the hypothermia. And you know, as a Christian, what is going to make you cold? What is going to put the fire out? The world. And it's not just the world. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know what's going to come in? There's going to be people that come into the church. The Bible talks about wolves that come into the church. Talks about busybodies. Even in this passage it says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. You know what you have to do? You got to get away from the world. Get away from those people that love the world. Because guess what it's going to do to your heart? It's going to freeze it. It's going to make you cold to the things of God. It's not going to, you're going to lose that fire that God has put inside of you. And some of you, it was that you were fired up for God. You used to enjoy church. You used to enjoy reading the Bible. But you're cold. You're apathetic. You have spiritual hypothermia. You're cold. You have a cold heart. God wants us to be burning up with fire. He wants us on fire for Him. Yet many of us, we sit in church, and you know what? I was just telling Pastor Parrish about this. There's some of you, when somebody comes across and they sing in this pulpit. All you do, because you know a little bit of music, all you do is sit there and like, I think they missed a note. You got spiritual hypothermia. You can't say amen. Someone next to you says amen, and all of a sudden you're looking at them. What's wrong with them? You know what they have? They have a little fire, and you're cold and dead. And our church doesn't need cold, dead orthodoxy. It doesn't need religion. Religion is sorry. Religion is dead. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a Christ that's unbelievable. We serve a Christ that physically can take a man that's on the brink of death. There he's laid out and the doctors say there's no hope. And our Savior can give him physical life. But I'm telling you, it's a live illustration for us. Because more than that, spiritually, he can breathe life into you. He can fire you up for the things of God. So why is your Bible dead? I said, Pastor Parrish and I were just talking about it yesterday afternoon. And he was talking to his group and said, you know what? We're gonna do the best we can, but when we step into the pulpit, it's not even about the people. It's about praising the Lord. And so many times we forget when we walk into church, this is about God. It's about praising Him. Spiritual hypothermia. We just have a couple of points this evening. The danger of being cool. And I want to show you a couple of things about hypothermia. First thing is that hypothermia affects the brain. Believe it or not, if you read about it, hypothermia affects the brain. Spiritually, this means that when you become cool to the things of God, your thinking will not be right. Your thinking will not be right. And there's some of you sitting here over the last few months, you've questioned everything. Oh, what about this? What about that? Is that really in the Bible? And you know, because God's been pricking your heart. As Dave Olson and I have talked about, we live in the critical age today. Everybody's a critic. Everybody's a scorner. The Bible doesn't have much good to say about the critic. Doesn't have a lot of good to say about the scorner. Read it in the book of Proverbs. In fact, those of us that have been here and the last couple of Thursday nights and we were studying the mouth, you'll see that the mouth can do a lot of damage, but the Bible says the mouth can do a lot of good. And our mouth and our tongue and our lips should be surrendered over to the Lord. It's amazing to me that even the little kids in their song have more in their theology, more in their understanding of the Bible than some of us that have been saved for dozens of years. They sit there and sing, oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Like, oh, silly children. Silly children. And yet, yeah, stupid adult. Yeah, I like that term. Stupid adult. Because the Bible says that you're going to give an account for the puke you just put out. Because you have a cold heart. You have a cold heart. And you've let it get cold. Why? Because iniquity abounds. And maybe you say, well, you don't understand the society I live in. Well, don't talk to Timothy. Because he lived in Ephesus. And just one of the gods, they had a temple and they revered the goddess of Diana. And if I had a screen to come down, I couldn't even show you a picture of the goddess of Diana. You know why? Because it was perverted. That was all around them. Oh, maybe the church of Corinth, it was better. No, it wasn't. I remember standing up in what they call Acro Corinth. We had to drive up a hill, and Acro Corinth was way up high. And they still have the walls there. We climbed around the walls, and then the guide stood there and he said, "See this? There was a brick road that led up there." And we parked down and we walked up that brick road and we saw the huge entrance into Acro Corinth. He said, "Just so you know, during the time of the Apostle Paul, both sides of this road, and the road was just as big as this middle section, cobblestone. He said it would have been lined with at least a couple hundred prostitutes, temple prostitutes." Oh, Paul, you don't know how bad it is. Oh, yeah, they did. They did know that, and that's why Paul could write to the church of Corinth, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Those of you that cry out and you say, "Oh, it's just so hard." No, it isn't. You're just a wimp as a Christian. You have a cold heart as a Christian. Hypothermia affects the brain. And so then what will happen? You'll justify all kinds of things. You'll justify gossip. You will justify bitterness. You will justify your critical spirit. You will justify not reading your Bible. You'll justify skipping out of church on the weekends. You'll justify it. You'll justify all of that. Why? Because hypothermia affects the brain. What's interesting is you can keep your focus. I don't recommend this. We've tried this with our dog. But one thing you can do in dog training, the trainer will take a piece of red meat and throw it in front of the dog. Now, you can imagine the first time that trainer takes that meat and throws it in front of the dog, he goes after it. Why? Because that's his nature. And you know what? You and I have a sin nature. And you say, "I'm just a man." Well, yeah. Good excuse. You got hypothermia. It's affecting your brain. Because the second time the trainer will throw out the meat, but then he will tell the dog to stay. Now, it takes some time, but eventually the dog will stay because the dog is focused not on the meat, but on the trainer. And you know what, some of you? You have spiritual hypothermia, and it's been affecting your brain, and the reason is that you are looking at everybody else and, "Oh, they hurt me here. Oh, they did that over there, and they quit on God there, and they quit on..." Oh, wait a minute. Did Christ... Oh, I thought I heard him say, "It is finished." That's what I think my Savior said on the cross. And then he said, "I will not leave you comfortless." What did he say? He said, "I'll never leave you, nor forsake you." So get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off of everybody else, even Christians. And get it back on the Savior. Hypothermia affects the brain. Secondly, I guess secondly, about as good as our kids here, hypothermia limits body movement. Hypothermia limits body movement. What does this mean spiritually? Spiritually, it affects your brain. That means you're going to justify all kinds of things. And if you have spiritual hypothermia, you will find all kinds of ridiculous things even in the Scripture. There are people that do. They can justify all kinds of things. And you know how they do it? They just open up the Bible. And there it is in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Then the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their father, and they stood up in their place. Oh, you know, God just told me that we should be standing all during the service. Because it says we... You know what? You can find all kinds of silly things if you pull it out of Scripture. One little phrase. You know, most people that are having problems with the church and most people that are supposedly great theologians, when you really sit down with them with Scripture and say, hey, why don't we consider that? They don't like doing that. You know why? Because hypothermia affects the brain. But you'll notice always when hypothermia sets in, you don't want to move physically. Slow down. Oh, I just want to sit. Some of you have probably seen that on maybe some films on climbing. I remember watching that on some of the tragedies in Mount Everest. Remember reading about some of those. I've even read books in Mount Everest. And those, when the hypothermia was setting in, they just want to sit down. And their partner would say, no, you've got to keep moving. And guess what will happen spiritually to some of you? When hypothermia is setting in, you don't want to be involved in the church anymore. Oh, you know what? I just don't know. You know, going soul winning every week or being a soul winner is just a little too much. You know, they're always asking us to give. They're always asking us to work. They're always asking us to do something. I just want to sit. Watch it. Hypothermia is setting in. Because when hypothermia sets in, it limits your body movement. And in a church, it's very noticeable when you're starting to backslide, when you're starting to get a cold heart. What happens? You know what? Where are they at? What happened last Thursday? Where are they at Sunday? And then what happens when somebody comes up to you? Somebody comes up, hey, where were you at? Mumble, mumble, mumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Oh, watch out for the humble family. Oh, yeah, it's hypothermia. It's setting in. Why is it setting in? How can we see? Because it's affecting your brain. And, man, you got some spiritual reason why you don't need church anymore. You know, I don't think that it's the church age anymore. Oh, really? Oh, really, Mr. Theologian? So what is this? Well, you know what? I think you're doing that, but I really think that the Bible, we've moved out of the church age. Remember, that was Harold Camping? And Harold Camping, I'm pretty sure he's dead. Did he die finally? And praise the Lord, because, you know, now he knows he was dead wrong. He knows he was dead wrong because, you know, the only reason I think that he said the church age was dead, guess what he had? A worldwide radio station. And guess what? If the church was alive, the money goes to the church. But if it's out of the church age, it's no, oh, you don't have to get, I just happen to be one of the prophets. I'm one of the prophets, and if you send the money to me, God will bless you. Well, Harold, guess what? I believe the church is still going. You'll limit your movement. You'll start backing down and backing out of things, and you'll be able to justify it. Why? Because spiritual hypothermia starts affecting your brain, and it limits your movement. I thought this was interesting. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revival, she was strong and a healthy child. She fed largely on testimony and scriptural holiness, soon growing into worldwide prominence and was one of the most influential members of the famous church family. For the past several years, Sister Prayer Meeting has been in failing health, though, gradually wasting away until rendered helpless by stiffness of knees, coldness of heart, inactivity, and weakness of purpose and willpower. At the last, she was but a shadow of her former happy self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the strange absence of her loved ones, now absent from her presence, busy in the marts of trade and places of worldly amusements. Her older brother, Brother Class Meeting, has been dead for many years, expert including Dr. Works, Dr. Reform, and Dr. Joyner, disagreeing as to the cause of her fatal illness, administered large doses of organized social and contest and drives, but to no avail. A post-mortem showed that a deficiency of spiritual food, coupled with a lack of fasting, faith, and heartfelt religion, shameless desertion, and non-support were contributing causes. Only a few people were present at her death, sobbing over memories of her past beauty and power. Carefully selected pallbearers were urged tenderly to bear her remains away, but failed to appear. There were no flowers. Her favorite hymns, Amazing Grace and Rock of Ages, were not sung. Miss Ima Modern rendered beautiful Isle of Somewhere, but no one had any idea where this fancied isle might be. The body rests in the beautiful cemetery of bygone glories, awaiting the summons from above. In honor of her going, the church doors will be closed on Wednesday, except on the third Wednesday of each month, when the Ladies Pink Lemonade Society serves refreshment to the members of the men's handball team. It's sad, but it's almost a description of a lot of our churches. Because having a prayer meeting, you're just going to pray? We're all about the fellowship. We fellowshiped ourselves into a cold heart. Hypothermia. It affects the brain. It limits body movement. And lastly, hypothermia is hard to detect yourself. Read about it. Physical hypothermia, the person will fight you. The person just wants to go to sleep. And someone comes alongside and says, "Come on, you're going to die." Hypothermia is hard to detect yourself. So what do you do? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. We'll close with this idea. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." These are amazing verses. Look what it says. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy" what? "Patience. How thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Are you noticing this church? They have patience. They're working. They're laboring. They can't stand evil. They despise evil. And even those that are apostate, they've called them down. They've said those guys are liars, and they proved it. Look at verse 3, "And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and hast not" what? "Fainted." They got perseverance. They're diligent in the fight. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Spiritual hyperthermia set into that church that had patience, that worked, had labored, They had done a lot of good things. They were standing for right. They were showing and probably teaching in their church the apostasy that was out there. When it was hard, they kept at it. They fought on when it seemed impossible. But they forgot Christ. They had spiritual hypothermia. Remember, look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And notice what it says. And what? Repent. Normally, we associate that with what? Salvation, right? We normally associate repentance with salvation. We say, you know what? You need to repent. There needs to be a turning. We use the illustration, I'm going this way and I'm turning. It's an about face. And so it is for the sinner. The sinner is in love with his sin. He loves it. He wants it. But he has to give it up. He has to turn from it and say, I am done with that. And so do you and I. Because that sin comes in and we fall in love with that sin. We love our flesh. We love the praise of men, even our own works. We love looking out at the community and say, look what we are. Look what we've done. Don't you see the buses? Don't you see the masses we've reached? Oh, even on Christmas Sunday morning, we had an auditorium full and we preached the word. Look at us. Watch out. Watch out for spiritual hypothermia. Because you're doing the work. You're not quitting. But you forgot it's about Christ. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And repent and do the first works. When is it that you just had an old-fashioned weeping session with the Word of God? Oh, it's not normally public. It's private. But God reaches down, and it's as though your heart, you can't even breathe, and God says, you ingrate. Who do you think you are? It wasn't anything you did to merit salvation. It wasn't for by grace are you saved through faith. It wasn't that you were so good. It's not of works. My son had to die for your sin. And your sin right now of pride and arrogance. Your sin right now of lifting yourself up and lifting your works up. That's what put my son on the cross. It drove those nails deep. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou, what again? Repent. It's reading them. There was a cartoon. And there was a lady shopper. And she was resting outside of a shopping area. I think it was a mall. And she was resting. They had a picture of it. And this lady shopper had come out and she was sitting on a bench and there was packages all around her. A busy department store. All kinds of other Christmas shoppers. And then her son is sitting there next to her. And he's trying to ask about Christmas. And there is the busyness. There's people shopping. There's people all over the place. Packages all over the place. And the mom is looking at her son. and saying, no one is quite sure how Christmas worked out like this, my son. But theologians are working very, very hard on that question right now. Isn't it sad that we can, in essence, the lady was saying, why is there Christmas? And that's what the son is asking. Why is there Christmas? Why is there Jesus? Why is there a manger? Why is that? Why do we sing Christmas carols? And here his mom says, theologians are trying to figure that out, why Jesus is trying to creep in. And you know what? I think some of us in our Christian life are the same way. God has been trying to creep into your heart and creep into your life. And you're like, God, I'm busy. I got the bus route. I got my family. I've got to tithe. I've got to go sowing. I've got to do this. And God's just saying, let me in. Let me do my work. Because you forgot the first works. And that is, it is Christ that saved your soul. And without Christ, you would be nothing. Without Christ, we wouldn't be able to operate. Sometimes in our lives, we forget. And spiritual hypothermia has set in. God help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You may know that something is wrong tonight. The Holy Spirit started squeezing your heart right away. He's moved on your heart. He's been moving on your heart for a while. But you're cold to the things of God. Even some of you, you kind of scoffed at the 45 Club. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you missed out on memorizing Scripture. I'm sorry you missed out on reading God's Word as a family. I'm sorry you missed out. Some of you never even, we had times to sign up and come in to be as a family and pray for an hour. And you're like, psh, that's a bunch of show for you. But we wanted God to be in our church. Has spiritual hypothermia set in? Has it affected your brain? Has it limited your movement? Has somebody tried to come and shake you and say, come on, you're cold, you're dead? The Bible tells us, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. God, give us hearts that can burn again for the Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you even for this time of the year where we can pause and think of Christ. Help us, Lord. Make us a clean people, a pure people. But Lord, make us a fervent people for you. And help us to have a heart that's fired up for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with